This is part two of Brendan Shaw's interview. The second half of this two-part episode takes us into the toughest conversation we've ever had on this podcast. Our goal was to spark meaningful dialogue about the weight of traumatic loss, while still honoring the depth of pain without sensationalizing it. We're incredibly grateful to Brendan Shaw for his bravery, sharing his story of losing his brother.
This conversation also highlights the injustices mourning families face in the court system today. As you listen, we ask you to approach this conversation with the same care and respect we brought to it.
Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief podcast, the podcast where we share our real and raw experiences with grief. Whether it's tears or laughter, or maybe a little bit of both, we're here to figure it out in real time. We are your hosts. I'm Kendall Rogers.
And I'm Rachel Dwyer.
And while we're not professionals, we are professional grievers.
Every Tuesday, we bring you honest conversations that break down the stigma of grief, one episode at a time, because no one should have to grieve alone. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's navigate this journey together.
I think what's interesting about your story in particular is that when I look at my own grief with my own dad, I experienced a new sense of anger that I had never experienced before, but I had nowhere to funnel it or channel it. I was more like, it was more of an existential sense of like, why would my dad die? Like, how could this happen to him? Like he's so young type of thing. Whereas I, as an external person looking into and hearing your story, you do have someone to be angry with. You, like, I imagine my anger and like you have this deeper anger underneath. And do you find that like that could change your perspective on your life entirely? Or are there other things involved in all of this that has changed your perspective on life and relationships and things?
That's something I'm not that far into this whole thing still, right? You know, April is 3 years. I'm hoping that changes. I don't think I see it changing a ton given the nature, right? Like, you know, you hear people who lose somebody to a drunk driver and then years later, kind of for their own healing, forgive that person. They understand you're a person, you made a mistake, and they can forgive them. That anger, I guarantee, is there. At first, yeah. This does not have that. So that's a struggle. And yeah. I can feel that pretty often. And I think the way I've noticed it in my life is, and I have to work on it all the time, is my patience. It's affected my patience with just insignificant things or small talk, or if someone's complaining about nothing, you know, just like that kind of thing, I can feel myself get, and I know that that's where it's coming from. But yeah, I also try to give myself a little bit of grace with that, because like, what else am I supposed to feel about right. that? You know, I try not to fight it. Like, you're too angry about this. You don't need to be angry. No. I think it's okay that's in there, as long as I'm aware of it and I am like managing it. But this is my brother. And it's kind of interesting to see the differences between how the males in my life and the females in my life that are very close to this situation, the differences in like what they focused on even to this day, where their energy and thoughts are. And I mean, at some point you have to remember, like, we are animals, and you know, there is a primal nature to this type of situation where it's like, my initial thing is, you know, round the troops and what are we doing here? Like, that's where I go. And the girls do not in any way. They're obviously unbelievably angry and sad and all that, but it is interesting to watch that play out.
Me and Kendall talk about as well, like, you rarely see men talking about grief, and it's more so women talking about it. And I feel like when there are men talking about grief, it's almost like a phenomenon where like everyone's curious, how do you guys deal with it? Because we even posed the questions once and we're like, how do men grieve? Because I don't see them in our support groups. We don't see them in all these spaces. Mm. It's very rare. It's like 98% women, and then there's like a few men. And responses were like, they don't. they go to like drugs or alcohol, or they just get angry. And it's such an interesting thing where it's like, I never saw it as something so different, but I guess it really, it is. Like when you try to look in the spaces or hear from other people, like me and my brother are so different with how we deal with it, for sure. So like I have that experience, but it's interesting for you to bring that up, because I do think that there is such a stark difference. And I think a lot of men would benefit from talking about it more, because it's obviously a hard thing. Like if you just kept it in, and I've seen you say, even like watching your videos, just like, you feel better actually letting it out and speaking about it. And we've shared that too. Like it's better to let it out, but maybe by you speaking about it, and maybe that is slowly helping the tide where men are like realizing like grief is a hard thing. Like maybe we shouldn't just drink or something. Like maybe talking about it is actually the best way to handle it.
Well, it's interesting. I have my own personal view on that. And that is that if men who need to be grieving aren't, and they think it's because of any sort of like misplaced thought that they need to be tough or strong, but then they go down a route, like you're saying, where they just disassociate or they drink or they turn to some other thing. To me, that's super weak. That's weakness. That is not strength in any way, shape, or form, because you are literally not addressing what I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Would be so much easier if I just, you know, maybe went to heroin, or I don't know, like if I could just completely like turn my brain off, that would be really awesome. And I see that as complete weakness, and it's not helping anybody. It's not helping anyone in your life by not addressing it. It's not like, it's some sort of misplaced manly thing for anyone who thinks that. I'm not saying everybody thinks that, but if you do know that that's actually, you're running from something really difficult, the hardest thing maybe we ever will deal with. And that does not show me strength whatsoever.
I definitely think it's the hardest thing we ever go through. Like I can't think of anything harder than losing the people that you love. That is the hardest thing. But kind of going off of that, like we talked about a little bit, but what do you wish people understood about grief when it's tied to a traumatic loss? Because I just feel like it is so different than what me and Kendall experienced, that I feel like there needs to be a different way that it's addressed or thought about.
Yeah. This won't be helpful, but what everyone should know about a situation like this is that you cannot understand. You cannot, you will not. You cannot. I can confidently say that I lived on this earth for 37 years as a normal person with a normal life. If you had asked me, you know, I could have gotten a college degree in this. I could have sat in classes 8 hours a day for 4 years, and someone could have tried to give me this. And I'm telling you, it never, not even close, like not even remotely close. So I think, and that's okay. Like, if everybody just accepts, like, you don't understand, and therefore, like, act accordingly. Don't tell me you understand, first of all, you know. But even other things, like, when people talk about this kind of thing, we have this culture of, like, these TV shows, and people talk about this stuff, and it's like, if these people understood, if they could step in my shoes for just a minute, they would change their tune pretty quickly, I think. I hope.
Yeah, this is some of the worst pain anybody could ever feel. For it to be in your situation such a different source, and then for it to like manifest in such a different way, I think a lot of people can relate to losing someone in a medical sense and having lost people to illness. And in fact, it's, I think a lot of people in our support group who has lost people that way, in some sense, like it's, I hate to say that's, it's nice to know I have a friend and Rachel, and that we share that similar experience. But my God, yeah, you really can't put yourself, even as Rachel and I were getting ready for this episode, she and I just were like, I cannot imagine going into a court case, having to show up and relive everything all over again. For someone who might be listening right now, who is in a similar bucket as you, in the similar type of grief and like traumatic loss, do you have advice for them? Do you have something that you would want to share with them that maybe you find profound?
Are you even there yet?
I know.
You don't have to answer.
I do. I wish I had some magic bullet. But to be honest, I don't think it's all that different from what you guys would say. I don't. Maybe the time frame is going to be a little bit different if we're talking about like legal stuff and all that. If you're in that kind of a situation, like, yes, that will delay things, that will complicate things. You know, one minute you'll be missing the person, the next you'll be in disbelief, the next you can't believe you're sitting in a court, you know, talking to DAs. Like, there's lots of that. But really, it comes down to the same stuff that anybody who loses someone significant would tell other people. Like, it's day to day. In the beginning, I mean, you know, minute to minute, and it's not easy, and it's going to be hard, whether you're a man or a woman, if you're in a situation like that. And you have to, I mean, the more I was around people, I guess the better, right? Being alone, even still, I say it all the time, for some reason, driving in the car, if I'm in the car alone, that does something to our brains where we're like, we're running at like a low level of operation because we have to be able to drive our car and pay attention. But then like, but it kind of shuts off all of the unnecessary noise and just like allows the loudest voice to come in. That's what I think. And that's always super, super hard for me. If I'm alone in certain situations, it's still, you know, you never know. You kind of never know where your thoughts are going to go. So you have to get a hold of them a little bit and recognize that like you can move on from that thought. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to go, now let's dwell 45 mm-hmm. minutes on that and dig even deeper. Like, it's hard to do. And at first, potentially impossible. But with time, it becomes a little bit easier to go, there's that familiar fucking voice that I have to, there it is, there's that thing. And it's not new anymore. And because it's not new, it doesn't hold that same strength on you. So yeah, it's a process. I mean, it'll be a process for the rest of my life. This is not something that will ever go away. You guys know that as well as I do. In this case, you know, we're talking about traumatic situations. I already have a appeal date. And I think it's December 2049. I already know, like, that's his parole. His parole hearing.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Because it's New York State and he got 25 to life, not life without parole.
Oh,
so
God.
In 25 years, I'll be this old man standing there like, hi, everyone. Still fucking here. Let's be smart. Right. And, you know, they won't. But yeah, here's the thing. I'm almost 3 years into this and I'm able to talk about this like this without completely falling apart, but I can't believe what I'm saying. Like, at times it hits me even as I'm talking to you right now, like, whoa, like that's true. Like, what I just said is actually true. Like, that's somehow now my life. And, that's hard, especially when you had plans or you thought you had plans. You know,
yeah.
Me and my brother's kids were supposed to grow up together, and the cousins and the back and forth of the families, you know, me and his houses and all of this stuff. And you know, right? Like, you can appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's just there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's changed. Like, me and Kendall, like, wanting kids. Like, I just always thought, like, I could drop off my kids at my sister's place. She loved kids. I was like, I could do that. My mom would help, like my dad. Like, and now it's like, the village is gone. I will never get to meet my sister's kids because they never existed. So it's just like this whole other thing where it's like your life is just like flips upside down and it's really hard to let go of how you dreamed your life was going to be and then be okay with what it looks like now. Like being happy with what it looks like now. That's the part that I'm working on now currently is like, how do I be happy in this new life that looks nothing like the life that I wanted? And that's a really hard place to be and still working on. And it's been longer, you know, long for me. And I don't say long because it feels long and short. It's like long to say it out loud, sure. But like, the pain is still always there. But it's to get to that place. And you're still, I'd say, like, I feel like all grief is new, but like going through your experience, that is, I don't know, it's hard to even get to that part where you're like really mourning when you have to deal with like legal issues and that and anger. Have you noticed your grief evolving at all? This has been like coming up to 3 years because you did just like start your TikTok like recently. You just started sharing about it recently. And something that me and Kendall have noticed is like – was the unexpected part of starting a podcast was we have really been processing our own grief in a deeper way than we thought we would because of this podcast and having to talk about all these different things. Have you noticed that with your grief and like actually sitting down to talk about it and creating TikToks about it and videos and sharing?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I started that account. I mean, I started it for, it's kind of funny. I was like, I was talking with my sister who should be here right now because she is awesome. And she can talk about this stuff so eloquently, and she will be one day. She'll be kind of joining me, I think. But we were talking about this, and I was like, you know, what form? I just want to like, we talk so well when she's here. She's in the city, so we don't get to have those face to face all the time. And she actually the one who brought up, like, should we just do like a podcast? Like, we were up till like 4 a.m. talking, and we were like, I wish we had that conversation recorded, like, oh my God, that was such a good conversation. And she kind of joked about it. And I was like, I was joking with her that like what you guys are doing right now, you're on camera, you're talking, right? This is foreign to me. So I was like, I was joking with her, like, Lexi, I would hate that. I would hate the sound of my voice. I would hate looking at myself on camera. I would hate it. And she was like, well, why don't you just go start like a private TikTok? No one you even know is on TikTok. It's not like Instagram where it's just your friends. You could just put it out there and practice like hitting record and then hitting publish. And I said, that sounds terrifying. And it was. I was like so terrified to like, and I was talking to the camera at first, like it was live TV or something. And I'm like so nervous to mess up. I'm like, Brendan, you're talking at your phone right now. Like, calm down. So at first it was an exercise in like, can we just be comfortable in front of a camera? And then what are you going to talk about? Well, how about the thing that is on my mind 24/7? Because I have a lot of thoughts on it. So that's the easiest thing to like commit to, like do a video every day or almost every day and just do it. And no one will ever see it and it's fine. And then by the time her and I start our little podcast, I'll be comfortable doing it. And that's where it started. But yeah, you know what's been crazy is reading other people's stories in the comments. That's what's been really crazy. Because first of all, I thought no one would even see these videos. And second, you know, the number of like bereaved parents that lost kids under the age of like 15, like those stories, like it really kind of hit me. And I think what it helped me do was put in perspective, like just perspective. Just end right there. Like, it helped me put everything in perspective. Like, man, like, would I want that? No. You know, I have a 1-year-old now. I can't even imagine. And then it makes you remember, like, oh yeah, I'm also having to grieve my parents, watching my parents have to go through this. My sister-in-law, think, you know, that's a whole separate thing she's going through. It was so complex. And it starts to, you know, kind of, I can put myself in other people's shoes a little bit better, especially when you have that number of stories being shared with you. You can really like, wow, like the perspective I've gotten, I think has been very helpful. And lastly, like the fact that any human being on earth has watched some stupid video that I put on social media and said like, wow, I needed to hear this today. Or like that, like, thank you so much. Like, totally worth it. Had no expectation of that in any way. And that has made everything worth it. And I always preach purpose, because if you don't have any kind of purpose after a significant loss, that's when you start going down, I think, bad roads. And if nothing else, like, it feels good that anybody has gotten anything out of anything that I've ever had to say. It's there's a little bit of purpose there, and it's been helpful.
I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to find a silver lining in this, because I don't know how you could ever find a silver lining in this situation. Me and Rachel are like, you know, there's no point in trying to make something sound good and horrible situations. Like you said, it's just better to acknowledge that they suck.
Sucks. Yep.
Yeah. That being said, though, has there been any insights or lessons in this journey that you've been on that is going to impact you? Or do you think that could impart itself onto other people listening to your story, even here on the podcast or even from your followers on TikTok?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is that you literally, if this happened in my life to my brother, you literally have, you do not know what's around the corner, period. Like, don't think you're immune from anything, because I keep saying it. I'm just a guy, man. Like, my brother's not, you know, slinging drugs on the corner and putting himself in situations where, like, oops, something happened. Like, that's not in any way, shape, or form. So, like, if you can live your life a little bit more like that, understanding, like, nothing is guaranteed. I mean, you lose anybody important in your life, and you know that pretty quickly. But if something this, like, out of this world can happen to, like, my family, my brother, like, I wouldn't discount anything happening to anybody at any time, anywhere in the world. So maybe that helps somebody, like, gives them, like, the kick in the ass they need to, like, start that thing or reach out to somebody. I can't tell you how many people in my comments or in the videos have said, like, I hadn't been talking to my sister. I didn't talk to my sister for the last year, and then I found out she died. You know, things like that. And you're like, well, hopefully that gives you perspective, and those people's stories will give other people the perspective of, like, well, maybe that was not necessary then. Maybe we should drop those egos and just, I don't know, live with a better perspective on life and not be so caught up in our own shit and our own egos. And there's really, if you think about anybody you've ever had arguments with that lasted longer than 5 minutes, it probably was stupid. Like, it probably didn't need to happen. And how would you feel if, you know, whatever, you enter the blank there. So I would hope at least that.
Yeah. When you said it could happen to anybody, I would hear stories of people that, like, lost multiple family members, and I'd always see that and be like, oh my gosh, I would never survive that. I have no idea how people do that. I'd feel like this, like, huge, just, like, pain, but I never ever associated, like, that could happen to me. It was always like, that happened to somebody else, and that's a very tragic thing, and that would never happen to me. And then it happened to me, and then I was like, what the hell? Like, and sometimes I question, like, how am I still going? Or, like, how am I still doing this? Or how am I even trying to be positive? And it is like what you said, like, you just don't know what could happen. And you're living your life and you feel like everything is, like, great. And then one day it just really stops. And, like, for me, it was a succession of things. But it's like, you just really don't know what cards you're going to be dealt. You don't know what random thing's going to happen. So, like, be nice to people, be kind, put something good out there. Hopefully you'll make an impact on people by doing something. And I think that's where me and Kendall really got to with the podcast, is like, hopefully our horrible experiences will help somebody else figure out something, process something, find their passion, do something, feel less alone. Like, if we can talk about it and help turn this really ugly thing into something positive, then that's something that we want to do. But yeah, it definitely is, like, a journey to get there. But you just never know. Like, you can say it'll happen to anyone else until it happens to you, and then you're just shocked. You're like, I don't know how that happened.
I think that's how most of us live. I think everybody thinks, like, that happens out in the world. That happens to other people. Like, I have this great family. Like, of course that's not us. Look at us. And it's like, living with that expectation. I'm not saying walk around expecting everyone you love to die tomorrow, but living with the expectations that I had for what the rest of my life would have looked like or should have looked like, and then this thing happened, that separation from, like, the reality of what it is now and those expectations, that's painful. That adds, like, a lot of pain to an already painful situation. Like, you had, like, the thought of having a kid to me was almost something that I only cared to do if my brother was also having kids, because of that connection, of that future. And now I'm in this situation where one day I'm going to have to explain to my son, who will never know his Uncle Philip, what happened. Like, that is not the future I envisioned. That is painful. So again, you don't walk around expecting these bad things to happen, but if it gives you the perspective of, like, and, like, be grateful for what you have every single day and the people who are in your life, because, you know, something will happen one day to most of us. You will lose someone. I think it's the simplest thing we can do is just be grateful for the people who we love in our lives all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Just knowing Rachel in my life, and I have a younger brother and sister as well. And they know Rachel through the podcast, and my brother has met her before. But even just knowing Rachel and her story, I have seen this transition in our relationship with each other, and that we don't take each other for granted anymore. Because knowing Rachel and your relationship with your sister, Rachel, that, wow, it really can't just happen to any of us. And I was like, it's going to be devastating. The day comes and we're going to have to lose one of us. Like, we talk about it openly now with each other, and that we gotta be prepared for that in some sense, but we don't take each other for granted anymore. I feel like when we have fights, we are fixing them by the end of it. We're not just having pointless fights to fight with each other. There's so much more love flowing between the siblings, just because I know Rachel, and just because Rachel is like brave enough to share her story so other people can take that impact into their life. And I know just knowing Rachel and by proxy her sister has left a positive impact on me and my siblings.
Kendall always tries to make you cry.
I'm over here like crying every like 9 seconds.
I mean, that's powerful though, right? Like, that's what you just said is what I hope that someone could take for hearing my situation. And absolutely. I'm sure everyone who's experienced an extreme loss also hopes that, because you realize, like, man, if you've got it good right now, don't take that for granted. Like, and if you think about somebody, you know what I've gotten really good at is connecting with like lifelong friends who like, you know, I was friends with through like middle school, high school. And then during college, you're like at different places. And then all of a sudden we're adults and you're like, what the hell happened? If I think about a friend, I have reconnected with more of like my middle school and high school friends who I love dearly, and they're lifelong friends. They always will be. They're the kind of friends that you get together and it's like you haven't missed a beat. If I think about them, I text them. If I, you know, I'm like, I just text them something funny or whatever. If they pop in my head, I let them know. And I'm grateful for that for sure, because those relationships, like, I'm not searching for anything. I've had it the whole time and I just neglected it because of life or whatever bullshit, you know, I'm telling myself. But these people, like, I love them. And just because I haven't seen them in a while, or, you know, they moved to across the country or whatever, does not mean I should have a pass in like pushing that away from me when it actually means something to me. So I've gotten much better at that. And I'm thankful for that.
I love that. Also, I feel like you never know when someone might just need someone. They just might need to hear that someone's thinking of them. And like, everyone's going through their own battles and their own things. I always hear that people are like, oh, I should have texted them, or, you know, something happens and I wish I reached out. And it's like, then reach out. Just do it. Because like, you never know who just needed to hear that, or like reconnecting with someone or finding a new friend might be the thing that just really helps them get to a different place in their life, or like fill something that they were really missing. And life is all about connections and the people that you meet and the friendship. So it's like, that's what's important. That's what you get to walk away with. Like, no one's walking away with money, whatever their house is. Like, you walk away with the relationships and the memories. So I think that's a really amazing thing that you're doing, and that I try to do more too. It's like, that's what's important. I have to remind myself that. You get lost in it sometimes, but I think that's important to like always keep in mind. So you talked about reconnecting with friends, but have you, and since you just started kind of building this grief community, do you feel something different as you're connecting to other people that are grieving and like talking about their grief openly and creating that space? Because me and Kendall just joined our grief support group last year, and we became friends last year. And now we're so close, like we talk all the time, and we didn't have that till last year. Like, we really just started building that grief community and these new friendships. So have you started to kind of lean into making more grief friends besides us now?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because my initial reaction to that is I feel like I have to remind people in like my DMs and stuff. Basically, what I'm going to steal your guys' tagline. Like, I'm not a professional. I'm like a professional griever. Like,
I'm not your therapist. Person, but
I'm so glad that you're getting something helpful out of what I'm putting out there. But like, it's part selfish, and you know, it's part. I'm healing. I am. I am in. Yeah. I'm on a very long journey myself, and I like to think that, you know, all of the thinking that I have done about this and, you know, years of therapy and talking with my sister, who's just an unbelievable person and resource, you know, I just put out kind of my thoughts. I'm just putting out my thoughts. I'm just a person putting out my thoughts with a unique perspective, like all of our perspectives are. I can't understand either of your perspectives. I can't. I just can't. Really can't. And it's just that. Everybody has that. Everybody has that perspective, which means everybody has that voice. And I was stupid enough one night to just hit record and then hit publish. And like, that's just what's happening. But yeah, I mean, there have been a few people that I consider friends who I've met through this process. Not everybody who's gone through something necessarily like this, but they have their own unique kind of thing that they bring to the table. And it's been helpful. I think we've been helpful to each other, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's kind of funny. I think about the first time I saw your guys is we're not professionals. We're professional. Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, that's 100%. I think that should be like a tagline on anybody talking about this stuff that isn't a therapist. Just to remind you, like, I'm not your therapist. Yeah.
I'm professional on my own pain, but not yours.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're asking for them, I can give you my thoughts on the situation, but you know, don't go to the bank over it, I guess.
Yeah. So I like how you've mentioned you're just one guy with a very unique and tragic circumstance. And I don't want to say that you're speaking on behalf of a community that has also gone through very similar situations that you have. But as we know, we're in the podcast space. And if you're listening to a podcast, you definitely know that true crime is like always the top podcast people are listening to. Is some like weird human intrigue in us, like this weird morbidity that people like to listen to these crime stories. And like you said, you're just a guy, but now you're a part of one. And I thought it'd be interesting for you to share your perspective on this and that, you know, I hope that no one takes your story and mangles it or disrespects it, but this is your life. This is your brother's life. Like, this is his life and reputation. And how do you feel about that? And is there anything you want to comment in that regard?
I was never a fan of that type of content myself before. I'm less of a fan of it today. But I don't think there's anything wrong in telling these stories. The thing is, they're so almost unbelievable, which I get because I'm living in it and it's still sometimes so surreal. I can't even put it into words, but that it's almost like easy to remove it from. And it's like, it's just this abstract thing over here and I can listen to it and get whatever you're getting out of it and move on with my life. And it's easy to forget that like, you're literally talking about like a person or people. Yeah. And you know, when you see things like there's weird things on the internet, man, like people's favorite serial killers, right? Like, listen, you should feel stupid. You should feel stupid for saying that. I don't know what else to say. And I'll take it one step further and say, maybe you are stupid because you're really not like, that's like not okay. It's not normal behavior as much as it seems like it is. And it's not just podcasts, right? Like we had to literally beg this woman from Dateline NBC to not do this story. Here's the thing. Like, I almost want to scream this from the rooftops, from the mountains to the world. I want everybody to know. But like, that's like, I feel like our job. Because, you know, Dateline, they do a good job. And they would say, you know, we're not entertainment, we're news. And it's like, listen, I'm not an idiot. Like, I know what Dateline NBC is. Like, I know what it is. And they also want to give a voice to the other side. They want to let this person talk. And then that immediately becomes, well, absolutely not then. Because not in any world would I want some program out there where maybe he gets on camera and is like, I didn't do it. I did. Because that's what he'd say. I mean, he hasn't admitted guilt to anything. So a world where there's even one person on earth that has sympathy towards this human being does not exist for me. And I will do whatever I can to keep it that way for the rest of my life. It's as simple as that. So, you know, people get their entertainment in all kinds of ways. I'm not a huge fan. My sister and I actually, I know I feel like I've sworn a couple times. I hope that's okay.
No, I swear.
Okay, good. So my sister and I joked when we were talking about this podcast idea. The idea for the name of our first podcast was the Fuck True Crime Podcasts Podcast. We'd be the other side of it, and we would just berate the hosts. We'd berate the stories. We would just rip them apart
I think that needs to exist.
Yeah, right. Like, how, I'm surprised it doesn't, I guess. But yeah, just rip them apart, because why not? I don't know. If you're making your living off of people's sadness, like, I'm allowed to make my living off of making fun of you, I guess. give a voice to the other side. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see where we go with that.
I think that should exist. And also, I think those crime podcasts have really desensitized people on death overall. And you see it on social media, you see it on all these stories. And it's like, it's not just like that person, it's like their families. Like, you just,
yes,
when you experience it, you know how much one death really means. And it's like, and if you experience that, you're not going to be commenting something hurtful and so rude to someone that passed or is going through something hard, because you know that it's so difficult. And I think that's the hard part, is like, it becomes more like salacious and like marketing and just this whole thing, rather than like, this is someone's actual life and their actual story. And if that was like something similar to my sister happened, I would be so like, I would probably, I don't know what I'd do, but I wouldn't be nice about it for sure.
Yeah.
Because I would be so protective over how my sister was talked about, how the story was talked about. I would definitely be so particular. And our friend Brittany Spivey, who at this point already have been on our podcast, she says, make your grief pay you. That's like something that she says. And in that way, it's like, your grief is your pain and it's your story. Like, figure out a way for it to like pay you back.
Sure.
And your story is, I don't say like making money off your story, but it's like, if it, someone is going to make money off a story, if anyone should, it's going to be that. Yeah. It should be you.
That's what I was going to jump in before you said that. Like,
yeah.
And it's not about the money, but are you kidding me? Like, in what world do you think you're going to make any money? If you're going to do a story on anyone in my family, we're going to get total and final say in what it looks like and everything that you put in it. And anything that comes from it is either going to my family foundation that we've created in my brother's name that has raised over $300,000.
That's amazing.
Something, but it's not going to you. It's not going to some fucking stranger on the internet. Like, that's unacceptable. Like, in every way, shape, and form. Like, and everyone should at least, even if you're like not going to stop watching your true crime podcast, if you hear that being said, you should at least go, yeah, sure. I'm on board with that. Strangers shouldn't be making money off a story they had nothing to do with. It's not a fiction book that you wrote that you want the rights to. This is a story with people's lives. In what world do you think you deserve a dime from that happening to other people? That's my problem with it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And that's why your podcast should exist, because I think that's a really good counter. I think that's a counter, that's like culture shift. Like, we need some reckoning with the way that culture is shifting, where it's like, I don't even see humanity in it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the human is getting so taking a back seat into everything. And it's like, we're all humans and we're not connecting on the basic human things. We're connecting on all these other things that just making people just so disconnected. So I definitely think like that would be a great take and perspective of just like, what is it actually like? Like, what is that actual feeling? And who should be making money off of this? Because people are making money. Like, all the top podcasts, all the top true crime are like, they're so rich. They're making so much money off of this. And it's like, who should be? It should definitely be you. It should definitely be families like yours, for sure. Yeah, it's just like a very interesting time where like that is so popular and everyone sees it as dollar signs and not just human things that have happened that are horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, who's worse? Is it the people that see that potential and then go and create that podcast? Or is it the audience who doesn't see what's wrong with that? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, is it capitalism or is it just human nature that's wrong? I don't know. I'm not sure, but something's wrong with it.
I had listened to true crime for a little bit because I like Law and Order, but I was just like, I don't like listening to these stories. Like, speaking about it in a way that still doesn't feel sincere. It's just like, I always see it as like, I'm listening to the actual family story, and it's like, it just never seems like it's conveyed the way that I feel like it should.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just like, to me, such a delicate thing.
I mean, they're going to have to add just the act of adding drama to a situation, yeah. to a story like that. You're like, you know, that's not easy. That's not. And there are a couple of, there was some YouTube channel that I don't know if they have any follow. I don't know what they are, but like very quickly, you know, we saw, and I tried to message and ask them to take it down. They put together their own like kind of version of like a true crime podcast / Dateline NBC story with it all. But like, you know, that's like you said, like that's my brother's name. Like that's my sister-in-law's name. Do you think she wants that out there for the rest of her life as if this isn't hard enough that she's going through this? It's not, these are people, and that shit has consequences. Like people, I don't know where they get off on finding like something in themselves that says, I have the right, just because it's public domain, I have the right to also go and sensationalize this and see if I can make money off it. I don't know where that comes from in people. I can't imagine doing that ever in my life before. I can't imagine it. But like you're saying, if someone's going to do anything with the story, it's the people involved directly. That's the only fair thing.
I definitely agree. So we'll be waiting for your podcast.
Okay. For sure. We're going to start working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to put the pressure. We want to see that happen. So we want to end this on a positive note and thinking about Philip. So what is one thing, or just many things, that you want your brother to be remembered by?
I think the easiest thing to say is how many people loved him. I mean, it's overwhelming. His services were overwhelming. There was like 1,500 people or some insane number that walked through. Everybody loved him. That's who he was. He was like the best. He was awesome. He was just the best. And he made other people feel good, which is why he had that effect on them. It was better if Philip was there, like, period. To me and everybody else. Like, if he was there, if my life partner in crime was at the party with me or out at the whatever, the social get, it was better. I'm like, okay, good. I got it. I can be me. I got my brothers here. But I think he did that to a lot of people because he was really good at very quickly like connecting with you. He was very good at that. He was just one of those people, super easy to get along with, super easy to talk to. So you immediately felt like you knew him. So like from then on, you were like, oh, Philip's here. Like, this is better. And he did that to everybody. It didn't matter if it was his friend group, his work group. It didn't matter. Wherever he was, like, and everybody said that on their own as they walked through the services, as, you know, the years have gone on. That is the story of my brother. Like, really a special, special person.
Yeah, it sounds like the world was a better place with him in it.
100%. 100%.
First, we want to thank you so much for spending so much time with us this evening and just enlightening us to who Philip is and his legacy that's going to carry on. Obviously, I've been very emotional, like crying through this whole thing. But we want our listeners, if they want to connect with you or learn more, how can they find you? Where should they connect with you on? Can you give handles, stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, it's January that we're filming this. So depending on when it comes out, there could or could not be a TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's where I started uploading videos. But I did, I'm at Brendan Shaw Grief there, but that I have a website / newsletter. Sign up at the same address, brendanshawgrief.com. I have the same handle on Instagram as like a backup. I have yet to put anything there. It's just kind of there as a placeholder. If TikTok does go away, I'll probably move stuff over there, but I try to keep it pretty consistent across. So if anybody wants to pop in, I'll continue to try and put out that kind of content. And if it helps anybody out there, like, that's more than I could have asked for. So.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on. It was something that we realized, like, season one, we really talked about a lot of our grief things and things that we learned, but we thought season two would be a good time to like expand our knowledge on grief and really hear other people's stories and their experiences. One thing that we talk a lot about, like traumatic grief and not having any experience with that, it's a very different grief. So everyone is different. Yeah. Everyone, like you said, like, you don't know our experience. Yeah. Like, we don't know yours. Like, we don't know how that feels. And I think it's important to hear other grief stories and then learn from it and then not compare it, but just like learn and kind of expand your knowledge, as we are professional grievers, not professionals.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Brennan, for joining us. We loved and also heartbreaks with hearing your story, but thank you so much for sharing with us. We loved hearing about Philip, and we're excited to see like the legacy you continue to share about him and with the foundation and everything as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me.